And we want to worship him in truth. And we also want to serve him. So, we want to know him, not treat him like a pagan god, and not serve him as though he were a pagan god. Now, I just put these on. What are these? Gloves. Do you think these gloves can move this table? They just did. Do you think these gloves can play this piano? No. No, they can't. Corrie ten Boom said, "We're the gloves, and God is the hand." But he doesn't move you. He's not moving only your body. He comes into all of us. We've been talking about how Jesus is our life. And he lives in us. Jesus said, the miracles that Jesus did, he said, that was my Father living in me doing his work. So Jesus did the work, and the Father did the work. The Lord works through us, not just our body. He's not taking over our body. That's demon possession. God works in us and activates our whole person. That means our soul and our body. I want us to look at some verses that contrast the pagan view of God and the biblical view of God, and how man and God relate, and what is our service to God. And so there's some questions that you can look at in the bulletin. And there's a mistake there, my fault. It doesn't say now serve God. It says no and serve God. But if you're going to serve God, you have to do it now, because we can only act in the present. And so you can look at those later. Paul writes in the book of Corinthians, he says that we know that an idol is nothing in the world. And there's only one God. There's no God but one. But there are many so-called gods in heaven and earth, and many that are called gods, many that are called lords. Let's read this one together. Verse 6, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Did you notice the prepositions? We're living, yet we're doing it in the context of God. He is in our environment, and he is relating to us. As Paul writes in the book of Romans, he says, oh, the depths and riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? We can't understand God, but we can let God explain himself to us. And then he says this, who has ever given to God that God should repay him? This is a very pagan view of God, that people give things to him and God has to pay them back. People think they can earn something and God has to pay them back. And that is not the biblical God. Because for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. In Acts 17, Paul is talking to the people in Athens, and he saw many idols and many shrines to many different gods, even a shrine to the God whom they didn't know. And he said, I'm going to tell you about the God you don't know, and he's the God who made the world and everything in it. He's the Lord of heaven and earth, and he doesn't live in temples built by hands, and they were surrounded with temples. And he's not served by human hands, as though he needed anything. Now, we serve the Lord, but we don't serve him as though he's needy. Our service is a different kind of service. And if you've been serving God, because if you don't do it, God's in a lot of trouble, you've been serving God in a wrong way. Because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. The God who created everything doesn't really receive from us. He doesn't need anything. He gives everything. He gives everything to everyone. No one is paying their rent. God is the landlord of the heavens and the earth, and everyone lives there freely. We don't pay for the air, and we don't pay for the sun. God has given this. He goes on to say, from one man, every nation of men, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. He did this so men might seek him and reach out and touch him, though he's not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. God is not the creation. There's God, the creator, and everything else is what he created. But God is in touch with his creation. He's imminent in his creation. And he never leaves his creation alone. We live in him and we move in him and we have our being in him. And then he said, even one of your own poets has said, we are his offspring. God does not treat us as servants. God is treating us as a father treats his children. That's the relationship that God wants with human beings. He made all the creatures and he gives all of them life, but man he made special. He made man in the image of God that we might have a special relationship with God. He says, therefore, Paul goes on, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone or an image made by man's design and skill. There's the creator, and then there's creation. And yet the creation is creating gods. And so an idol is a creature or a creation to the second degree or to the second power, a creation creating a god. That's far from what the true and living God is. Can you go to the next slide? For some reason not going. Okay. And so we have God and we have these man-made gods. He's the creator. Everything else is creation. He's infinite. Everything else is finite, limited by space and time. He is self-sufficient. All the other gods are needy and greedy. If you've read any of the stories of other creation stories, the god or gods created man, what? To be their slaves, because the gods were lazy. But that is not our God. He's not needy or greedy or lazy. He gives everything to everyone. But the other gods, they force their will, or they make deals. Some people think our God makes deals. He doesn't. He gives. He wants you to respond to him like a child, a child in a loving relationship with a loving parent. God loves us as a father, and he wants us to serve him that way. The other gods use men as servants or as slaves. That is not the relationship that God wants. Jesus said the servant doesn't stay in the house forever, but the son, the child, remains in God's house forever. That's what he wants for us. There's a parable in Luke 12, verse 36 and 37, and he said, be the servants who are on their job when the master comes back, because when he comes back, he will do something very unusual. He said he will take off his outer clothes, he'll wrap himself with an apron, and he'll wait and serve he'll wait upon you. And like, what? What kind of master is going to do that? What master serves and gives to his servants? God is that kind. In fact, Jesus demonstrated that during the Last Supper. What did he do? He took off his outer garment, he put on the apron, and he washed their feet, totally confusing and shaming, surprising the disciples. Peter said, no, you won't wash me. Well, then you don't have any part with me. Well, then not just my feet, my hands and my head also. No, Peter, just your feet. And also in Luke, the Lord told another story. He said, which one of you, if you have a servant, when you come home and the servant comes in from the field, which one of you will say to your servant, okay, relax, have your meal? No, what do you say? You say, take care of me first, get all the household work done, and when that's all done, you worked outside, now you've worked inside, when you've taken care of me, then you can take care of yourself and eat your meal. What's the difference? He said, which one of you? How do men treat servants? And so when they made up gods, they said God is like that. Their gods are like that. But the God of creation is the God who gives us all things. And he doesn't make deals with us, and he doesn't pay us off for our work. And let's look at some examples of the Lord Jesus and the apostles. In John chapter 4, he has an appointment to make, so he sends all of his disciples into town to get food. Now, he doesn't need to send all of his disciples into town to get food, but he wanted to meet someone alone. Who was it? A Samaritan woman near a well, near Jacob's well. So he meets with her, and she becomes the key to the whole community. She goes back and tells the people that she has met the Messiah, and they come out. But as they're coming out, they said, eat, Rabbi, eat. They just went into the town to get food. Now they wanted him to eat the food. He says, no, I have food that you don't know anything about. Does someone give him food? Who gave him food? And he said, no, my food is to do the will of my Father and to complete his work. Now, how many of you plan on eating food today? Okay. Why do you eat food? Staying alive. Okay. I won't break into song and dance, but yeah, you need to stay alive, right? Is that the only thing, is just to stay alive? Do some of you enjoy food or certain foods? And so we need it to stay alive. We need it for our life, and we also enjoy it. What did Jesus say? I need for my life. And what I enjoy, he said, the will of my Father and completing his work. That's what gives me the energy I need, and that's what gives me joy. God created man before sin to do work, to do fulfilling jobs, things that when you do it, you feel like, this is what I was made to do. This makes me feel alive. I'm happy I did this, to be creative and constructive. And also, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. He said, man needs friendship and family. He needs to love and give life and to be fruitful and to multiply. And we can do that. We can do it biologically, but even better, we can do that spiritually, giving life to the world. Jesus had no biological children. There's a cult that said Jesus failed. And so someone came to replace Jesus, and he said, where Jesus failed to get married and have children, I'm succeeding. Now, there's been a couple cults like that. No, that's not true. Jesus said, at one time, he said, my Father, he healed someone on the Sabbath. And they said, you can't heal anyone on the Sabbath. It's the seventh day, don't you know that? And he said, my Father's always working. My Father works on the Sabbath, and so do I. I follow my Father's example. He said, the Son can do nothing by himself but what he sees his Father doing. So work is related to children and their parents. And it's, if you notice with a small child, they want to imitate their parents. They want to cook in the kitchen. And you have to be a good parent, because is their help helpful? No, not at first. They want to work in the workshop. They want to do everything their parents do. That's a natural thing for families, and they do it out of love and respect. And so he sees what his father's doing, and he does that. And what does the father do? The father shows him what he's doing. He wants the son to do that. And so Jesus said, what gives me joy? What gives me energy? Doing my father's work. Doing his will and completing his work. That's what gives me joy. That's what gives me energy. And then he said, if you don't believe what I'm doing, he says, don't believe me unless I do what my father does. But if I do it, and even though you don't believe me, believe the miracles. Because people can't do these things. Only God can do these things. And so that you'll understand that these miracles are being done because the Father is in me and I'm in the Father. So the works will show that. And in chapter 14, during the Last Supper, after Judas left, he said, I'm going away, but I'm going to come back and get you. You know the way. We don't know the way, sir. I'm the way. Okay, you're the way. Show us the Father. He said, don't you know that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Was Jesus talking? Was he talking like a puppet, like a marionette? No, he was talking from his heart and soul, using his body, using his mind. But the words coming out of him were not just his own. He says, it's the Father in me doing his work. That's the relationship that the true and living God has with his creation. Everything we do because we're in him and he is through us. And that's the relationship that he wants. And so we're able to do these things because God is with us. Sorry, I didn't mean to go that one yet. In chapter 15, right after this one, this is chapter 14, they leave the room. Apparently, they walk past a vineyard on their way to the Mount of Olives. Because in chapter 14, he says, let's go from here. They go, and then in 15, he starts talking about a vine and branches. What does he say? He says, I'm the true vine, meaning, because Israel was a vine. But he said, I'm the true vine, and my father is the gardener. And every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes and makes it bear more fruit. And any branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Remain in me, abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. Without me, you'll do nothing, but with me, you'll do much. You understand that? With Jesus, much. Without Jesus, nothing. With Jesus, oh, you got it. All right. So, his life flowing through us, that is the relationship he wants us to understand that we have with him, the true and living God. And so, we can put on the gloves. And the gloves are your body, your whole soul, your mind, everything. And yet God is working through you. And the work that's being done doesn't go to your glory. Whose glory does it go to? And so do you say, wow, those are strong gloves. They move this table. And they're going to move this table. It's a dancing table. Anybody know what these are? Power tools. That's right. They're power tools. Oh, I've got another one. Anybody know what this is? I don't want to tell you yet.
Oh,
here we go. What's this? Where's the power? This is not a very strong saw. It's as weak as the glove. And so, I mean, people are clever who come up with tools. And this is a fine tool. But to make a power tool, now that is cool. Like you use a screwdriver, you use your hand, and then someone said, don't use your hand, use power. Use power. And so here's some power right here. What's this? It's a drill. It's not working. Why doesn't it work? You guys have seen this demonstration before. But if we do this, wow. You can drill things. Oh, I think I took my drills in my office. Well, anyways, you can drill, you can put screws in with it, and not only that, but you can do what? You can reverse it. Now, is that a good deal? Isn't that better than using your hand? And so I appreciate someone who came up with that. I really think that that's cool. What's this? Oh, this is really cool. It can do what that one can do, but what? You're free. You're free. You're cordless. And it's really cool. How many like cordless tools? How many have a cordless tool? All right. Okay. All right. Let me see here. I'm going to make a mess. What's this? Okay. What's another name for this? Skill saw. It even says right on there, in case you didn't know. Yeah, that's a brand name, skill saw. And let's see if I can do that without cutting off my hand. Okay. Use the glove. That's funny. I didn't make it deep enough. Well, what's that? Roll the board over it. No. I'm going to use the cordless drill. Or the cordless saw, excuse me. Because that's more fun. Okay. You see that? Oh, I'm cordless. I have a cordless mic, but it's still not cordless enough, I guess. So, this one and this one basically do the same thing, right? They take long boards and make them smaller. What do you use to take a short board and make it longer? Nothing. Yeah, glue. Yeah, that's a problem there. And this one, anybody know what this is? It's a reciprocating saw. I need to put a blade in it so you can see it. A sawzall. Yeah, that's the name that Milwaukee came up with. And isn't that cool? Will that work, you think? Let's see. It works. I love these things. They're so cool. Now, what in the world does this have to do with serving God? You want to know, don't you?
You know how to use the cordless
You saw that here, didn't you? This has a funny name. You know what the name is? Tough Sucker. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, it works. Now, these things, they're very interesting because they can do these jobs, and they're powerful. Let's see if this one works. Did I unplug it? Oh, wrong cord. There's a lesson there. Actually, there is. Now, the drill and the saw and this saber saw, they all do different things. But without the power, they all do the same thing. Nothing. They're paperweights. And so with the same power, they do different jobs. Different, you could say they have different skills. God gives to the body different members who have different jobs to do, different skills. And yet without the power, nothing works. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. Now, oh, what's this box? I got this box over here. Anybody know what the box is? Yeah. It is a, what do we call this thing? Chop saw, yeah. And no battery. Right now, what does it do? Nothing. What's it need? It needs power. Okay. Let me see. Oh, that's cool, isn't it? And then, what can you do? You can miter it. Yes, it's a powered miter saw. Oh. Don't you want one of these? Uh-oh. Just in case. Thank you. No gloves?
Everything you could possibly need.
Okay. We'll keep it nearby. Paul said that his job as an apostle was to preach Christ, to be his witness in the world. And he said, and also to help the Christians grow up in Christ. He said, we proclaim him, Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, what does he say? I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. So, is Paul doing this? He's using power saws. He's using the power of God to get the work done. Now let's talk, what's the difference between corded tools and cordless tools? The cord. Okay. They both have power, right? They both have power, right? Okay. But what's the difference? Portability. Yeah, it is. I love it. But the corded tools have constant power, What happens to these battery-powered tools? They run out of power. And then what do you have to do? Recharge them or get another battery while that's on the recharger. And so it has this, which one is it? The saber saw is now plugged in. This one is constantly in contact with the power source. Now look at this chop or this sawzall. Is it in contact with the power source? No. It's not. This is more portable. This one, you're stuck hooked to the power source. This one with the cord that's not very handy has steady power. And it's actually, usually they're stronger. It's pretty hard to get a battery-powered tool of equal strength. But it has steady power. It doesn't die unless the power source goes dead, right? But the other has diminishing power. You use the rechargeable one, and it's going to run down. Now, I suppose I should have, ahead of time, ran one to where it was almost done, because it'll get low enough where it won't cut the board. It won't do it. And of course, the bigger the blade, the easier it stops. So one has steady power, the other has diminishing power. This one is totally dependent. If it's not plugged in, it does nothing. The other one, it's intermittently dependent because the power source can be active or it can run out. Now, which one are you? Are you a rechargeable one? You feel yourself running out of power? And you go, oh, I need to recharge. Maybe I'll go to church and recharge. Maybe I'll... And so like once a week you recharge. Once a week you plug in. You were looking for that, weren't you? What do you think God wants for us? He wants us to be in contact with Him all the time so that our power is steady. We're totally dependent on Him. Because it's easy sometimes to feel like, you know what? I'm pretty independent. And you can go for a while and then you run out and you run down. And God wants us, I mean, we're neither one of these, right? These are clever tools, and I'm happy for both of them. But what God wants us to realize is that you need to be constantly plugged in. You are a branch on the vine. And how does the branch produce fruit? Does it connect to the vine, fill up on sap, and then disconnect for a while? But sometimes we act like that. He wants us continually tapped in to Jesus. It's not very convenient, but it's much more powerful. God wants us to realize that He is in us and we're in Him all the time. It's true whether we know it or not. It's true whether we think about it or not. But for us to take advantage of it, we need to be trusting in God's presence and power all the time. So we need to be reminding ourselves that we're plugged in. We don't plug and unplug from Jesus. But we can depend upon Jesus or not depend upon Jesus. We can understand that He's with us, or we can think, Jesus, where are you? Come into our building. Come into me. No, Jesus doesn't come into the building. First of all, the church is not a building. He comes into you as a believer in Christ, and He stays there. But are you depending upon him all the time? Or do you think, I can just charge up and run for a while and then come back and plug in again and charge up again? God wants us continually plugged in. Everything we do through God. God is in us, and we're in God. Everything we can do. In fact, here's the shame of it all. Everything every human does, they do with God. No creature is independent of God. Every creature is totally dependent upon God. But some creatures will not give him thanks. Some creatures will not give him glory. Some creatures don't either. Everything is totally dependent upon God, even the devil. There's no creature that keeps himself in existence, but some will block from their mind the fact that they have a creator, that the creator is sustaining them in life all the time. But God says, you're not to live that way. You're to recognize that you live by my life flowing through you. Now, lost people are dead in their spirit, and they need to be made alive in their spirit so they can connect with God, but they're still dependent upon God for their soulish life. And sometimes Christians can live as though we have only a soulish life. And those are called carnal Christians, where we're connected to God, but we're living like pagans. We're living like lost people. God wants us to know who we are and what it means and how we live with Christ's life flowing through us. Oh, there we go. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? One of the things you learned in coming to Christ is that you're not saved by your works. You didn't work like you did at Ford, and at the end of the week or 2 weeks, they pay you. Like you work at Home Depot or at the hospital, or you're privately employed. You do a job and then you get paid. That's not how life comes to us. Life is a gift. God gives to everyone everything. God doesn't pay back anyone. No one has given to God. But what he wants from us is thanks and respect and love. And what did Jesus say? If you love me, you'll do what I tell you. Isn't that what parents want? And why does God let us be parents? So that we'll know how he feels when things are going well, and also how it feels when things aren't going well. He wants to have a loving parental relationship, and he made that possible through Jesus Christ. It was lost in the fall, but it's regained through Christ. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? No one. Pagans think that way, but don't let you think that way. Is God needy? No. But we have an opportunity to serve him out of love and spreading his love to other people and being fruitful and having joy that we're doing meaningful work, and the work that God is doing is drawing men to view the cross of Christ with respect and with faith. And so we can join him in that. For from him and through him and to him are all things. Let's read that. Verse 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks that you are a giving God, a good God, a God full of love. Love is your nature. Everything you've done out of love and truth. Lies try to disguise who you are and what it means to be human. And yet your word of God tells us who you are and who we are and how we can relate to you. Help us as your children to know you better, to love you more, and to serve you out of our respect and honor for you out of our gratitude for what you've done, and also to communicate that to others so they can join us. They can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent, turning away from false gods, believing in creation and other things, and turn to you, the creator and sustainer, who's also our redeemer. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.